trees are a travesty.
Shade in Arizona is prime real estate. Find out how to care for your trees. We're out in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service. Call 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with Rosie on the House. Before we get to the calls, we're going to wrap up a couple items here. Three things to lay off. Don't do.
Well, yeah, to wrap up this conversation, we talked about all the wrong things to do, but I just wanted to kind of wrap it up in terms of sustainable pruning. There's things we can do to help our plants along. And if you're out there, you know, doing some pruning in the next couple days and weeks, just keep in mind that less is more when it comes to pruning. That for all the reasons that we talked about this morning, we want to try to preserve the tree's ability to have leaves that photosynthesize to create the sugars and starches necessary for all those plant functions. So every time you prune, be sure you can justify every cut. Be sure you have a good pruning objective in mind, that these are necessary cuts. When you're removing live foliage from any plant, you're essentially handicapping it and keeping it from being able to reach its full potential and to have those energy reserves it needs to sustain life. So be sure that you know what you're only taking out the live parts of the tree that need to be taken out. Secondly, be sure you're complementing a tree's natural growth habit. You know, we have a lot of these trees that are inappropriate for parking lots because they have a weeping growth habit where branches tend to grow out and down, and we're constantly fighting to keep them elevated. We're going to have trouble if we have trees that grow in like a big mushroom in the desert in their natural setting, and we're creating beach umbrellas out of those trees and wondering why we can't keep them upright when the windstorms come. So if you're fighting those trees, maybe it might be more appropriate to think of a tree that has a more upright branch habit, like a acacia annura or a Quercus virginiana, that have more of an upright growth habit, that aren't going to be having branches dangling down in your face when you step out of your car. So look for being able to complement a tree's natural growth habit when you're pruning. Be aware of what that natural growth habit is, and then prune to complement it. Don't fight genes. They tend to win. Also, improve the branch structure for healthy future growth. This is critical. If you have small trees, a few critically placed pruning cuts early in the life of a tree can have a dramatic downstream effect in the life and the success of that tree many years down the road. So if you need help from a certified arborist to come in and give you some pointers or need a good quality company to come in, look for a certified arborist in your area who can help you to make those critical pruning decisions early on. And you'll have a happy and healthy and safe tree down the road.
Now, generally, you bring a tree of the month, but that's actually Dr. Martin has brought it for us. What tree have you brought in for us this morning?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's a good thing you caught me today. Today is, what, April 15th?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Normally, it'd be tax day today. So, yeah, April 15th, though, April 16th, though, my favorite tree may be different. I love trees, and every tree has unique characteristics that for us tree lovers are admirable. But today I'd like to feature a former eucalyptus, now in the genus Corymbia, the ghost gum, Corymbia papuana. It comes to us from the very northern reaches of Queensland and Australia. And it's a beautiful, beautiful tree with a very white phellum, which is the bark on the outside, just beautiful. In addition to that, and why one of the things I appreciate so much about it is it's environmentally very tough. And so it lends itself to being able to grow very well within the context of the urban environment, and particularly the challenges that are presented and placed upon trees when they're growing in Phoenix.
It's a great tree for the low desert. As far as eucalyptus varieties are concerned, it formerly was a eucalyptus, but the taxonomists changed that designation to Corymbia. But the of all the eucalyptus that grow here, there's about three or four that have some really nice characteristics. The others, like the Camaldulensis and the Rudis, some of the larger eucalyptus varieties are not they're not really being promoted and sold as actively now because of their propensity for limb breakage. Eucalyptus trees tend to be pretty weak wooded as a species, as a genus, and we. But this one, this Papuana, is awesome.
It's awesome.
Yes. Really strong wooded. And it doesn't grow as tall as some of the big eucalyptus trees, but it's a nice, stately, a maximum height?
40 to 60 feet.
60 feet, yeah. So instead of it being one of those 80 to 90, 100 footers, it's going to be kind of in that 40-foot range. And the smaller trees achieve that height pretty slowly, too. They're not going to be quite as rapid growing as some of the ukes. So, yeah, a great tree. I love it. It's got the interesting white bark, which is really striking in the landscape as well. So it's got some beauty to it. And it's got a chalky, whenever you touch them, you have a little chalk on your hands. It's kind of this, I don't know what that is, part of just the bark decomposing.
Yeah, the phellum is so fine.
Fuzz, yeah. It's kind of cool looking stuff. When we climb those trees, we come down, we got kind of this white chalk all over our jeans. It's kind of neat stuff.
And one of the things about a tree that has such a striking bark characteristic like that, and it ties in what we're talking about earlier, is the need to train the tree early so that you're not having to make massive pruning cuts and basically disfigure the beauty of the tree later on.
Yeah. Nice to get all those critical cuts made early so you don't have to be making 8 and 10 and 12-inch diameter pruning cuts later in the life of a mature tree.
Ishmael's next on the line. From Avondale, Arizona. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. How can we help you?
I have a shamalash tree that's in my backyard, and I'm not sure if it's typical of that tree to have shallow roots or it's just the way that it's being watered, because I do have a small grass area that is probably 2 feet away from that tree, and initially, it's still on a drip line, but the sprinkler system for that grassy area is also coming on. So I'm not sure if, like I said, if it's typical for that tree to have shallow roots. But the reason for my call is that brick border that's around the grass has a part where one of the roots kind of popped up, two or three of those bricks, and I'm considering having those bricks put back into place, but I'm going to need to chop that root that's there. So I'm not sure if that's going to be damaging to the tree or it's got so many other roots that I don't need to worry about.
You know, the ash trees are one of those trees that has a lot of surface roots. In fact, the ash is probably one of the more vigorous growing trees with reference to that. And they, if you have an irrigated area around it, a lawn, quite often those surface roots will be, there'll be a lot of them. And you just have to be a little bit careful when you put as Chris was saying, that mat of roots, which extends, far out laterally from the trunk of the tree, they will get underneath your pavers and start to lift them. Usually, if it's just a single root or two that are lifting up those brick pavers, you can dig down. They don't represent usually a high enough percentage of the root mass to affect the health of the tree. So you can sometimes cut along the edge of that hardscape. Might even be appropriate to install a root deflector or a root barrier. You can trench down and actually install a barrier that will prevent any further root encroachment. But it just would depend on the distance from the tree in terms of how successful that project would be and how much it would involve cutting roots along the edge of those bricks. Because they will grow back. If you just cut them, they will just grow back if there's no way of putting a barrier in front of that hardscape.
Dr. Martin, is there a percentage of root loss a tree can sustain before you're past the point of rescue? Do you all have a... That's probably a hard average general rule of thumb, like 15%, 20%.
That's very situationally specific. You know, I tend to think of 30 to 50% is sort of the threshold. You don't obviously want to remove more than that. I would certainly myself personally err on the side of being conservative and trying to do anything I can to not need to prune a root system because there are always problems.
And it also is a function of species tolerance to construction damage. There's some trees that have a high tolerance, and you can remove a higher percentage of roots without it damaging the tree. And others are very, very sensitive, especially to decay fungi invading those cut roots. And again, it depends a little bit on the distance from the tree. The research has shown that if you're cutting along a single side of a tree, it's not likely to destabilize the tree. But again, it depends on how close you are to the trunk. The closer you are, the more damage it can be to the tree, and the more difficult that it is for the tree to compartmentalize that injury. So try to keep it to a minimum, and the further from the tree, the better.
Bill in Tucson's next on the line. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program. Again, another ash tree. Welcome, sir.
Hi. I love your show. First time I've called in. I got three Arizona ash trees from the Trees for Tucson TEP program last year. And I planted two of them out front in front of my house. And I think I have carpenter bees taken out. Last year, one of the trees lost almost all its leaves to this. And so I was waiting for all the leaves come back. They came back beautiful this year. And all of a sudden, the last couple of days, a lot of leaves are gone now, being cut away by this bee, I guess. I tried to research it. So I'm trying to find a way for to get her to stop doing that. So that's my question.
Wow. And how tall are these trees? Are they just like
4 and 5 foot?
Five and six feet.
So, okay. Yeah, she's going to take out all the leaves. I mean, I won't have any. It looks like.
And these are those little cutter bees that are making those little circular cuts on the leaves. And gosh, it must be a lot of them to be. Usually those, we'll see those, but it's a leaf here, a leaf there. If they're actually decimating the trees, yeah, I would do something to try to physically protect them. You know, maybe put some shade cloth or something that would prevent the insects from getting to the leaves, but still providing a little bit of 50-50 shade cloth would let it enough sun in there to protect them. And the cutter bees could be seasonal as well, so maybe just through these next couple of months, and then maybe you could take the covers off in a couple of months.
And if you need some professional help, a new partner of ours that made it through the screening process but has been in Arizona in Tucson since 1974, taking care of homeowners' problems just like yours, University Pest Control. Any type of pest, bug, worm, termite, or weed kind of situation, you can find University Pest Control under the weed and extermination category at Rosie on the House. They can help you with your bee problem there if it's really taken out your tree.